Tracy, would you open us in prayer, please?
Oh, Father, as we gather together today, we just want to lift up your holy and precious name as in the song. You are holy forever. And we just come to you with open hearts, open ears, open eyes. And we look forward to what you have been speaking this morning, what you have been speaking in the last week, what you are speaking to us, each one of us. And may your grace abound in the days ahead. May we just flourish in the things of you. These are truly times of trials, testings, and provings. But you, Lord, have given us everything we need, absolutely everything we need to be able to be overcomers in all of these ways. You give us the resolve in our hearts. You give us resolve in compassion. Quicken us, Father, in all your ways so that we may walk as living testimonies of your light and your peace, because this is truly what the world will see when the things that are coming upon us in the days ahead can no longer shake us, no longer take our peace or our resolve, because you have quickened us in all of these ways. And I thank you, Father, for what you will bring forth this morning from Diana. I pray that you will anoint her lips, Father, that she just speaks all that you have given her. We thank you for this upcoming message. We thank you for continuing to reveal so much of your heart to us and to prepare us for the days ahead, because that is truly your grace and mercy. As you have shown us so many times. So I just thank you, Lord. It's a beautiful day today, and we just look forward to honoring you on your beautiful Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tracy. I echo that prayer. Open our ears, all of our ears, completely. Let us be led by your Holy Spirit. All right. I guess that you could say today will be part three of our exposure talks. I stopped abruptly last week before hitting upon what I believe to be the Mac Daddy, if you will, of all deceptions. The one the masses are being groomed and prepared to receive as we speak right now. I believe this coming deception, what is going to be so-called revealed, is going to be the Mac Daddy. First, let's recap just for a couple minutes here. The last, two meetings? I had originally shared a dream and vision from the night of December 27th, you know, where I heard all through the night quoting of scripture and various truths that were actually being proclaimed. I just heard all of this being spoken, and then heard other voices disputing these truths. I saw a huge mushroom cloud rising up out of the ground, and at the same time, it was just like downloading massive chaos, confusion, fighting, breaking out everywhere. Now, various ones of us have seen those things coming. I have too. Lots of blood, things along that line. But was shown sin had reached its fullness. It has reached its fullness. And it's prophesied about these days, you know, a societal breakdown is unfolding before our eyes right now. All is being exposed. You know, just as the Word of God says, there's nothing hidden which will not be revealed. And those things done and said in secret will be shouted from the rooftop. Jesus said that in Luke 12, verse 2. So not only is nothing hidden, that will not be exposed. But I think the most blatant and obvious thing we're seeing is the exposure of wickedness in the enemy's camp. We talked last week about some of it, you know, the networking system of the devil that's being set up within the bodies of humans. And the Lord first showed me the metallic networking system that was to be assembled into the bodies of humans back in 2018, called on the net, on the website, The Real Network. But we talked last week even about avatars being offered to humans in their sleep, the voice to skull technologies and things. I don't know that we went into a lot of that, but we touched on it. And think about what the enemy is trying to do to set up his communication system, which is a cheap knockoff of the real one, of God's communication system, via the Holy Spirit communicating within the body and networking us all together. And he's trying to duplicate that, his network, all one word, compared to God's network, two words. We talked about some avatars being offered to various ones that we know. Basically, several means coming into play. You know, whether it be, I'm talking about in reference to getting that networking system of the devil set up within the bodies of humans, whether it be inserting chips, japs. We know they're talking about transferring your brain essence, let's just call it brain essence, into avatar suits, you know, all meant to connect the individual, that human, into the matrix. Connect into the matrix using technomancy, or as Warwick had called it, hybrid techno witchcraft. The plan, though, to entangle our reality with a SIM, think of a SIM card reality, where they have a SIM version of every human. That's their goal. That's their goal, to have a SIM version of every human, like a voodoo doll, where they can take the SIM out of their AI world. When they decide to, oh, let's remove that SIM, it would eliminate the person in the real world. They have a total matrix system envisioned, right? That's their plan. So this is not speculation. They have a patent on this use of quantum technology to entangle photons of this world with their world. I gave you that information a little bit last week. They have a patent on it. And who is they? Why is this important? Two questions. Who is they? And why is this important? I jotted down here, because God doesn't want us to be ignorant of the devil's devices. You know, he's demonstrated his faithfulness to show the plans and plots, the snares, right, of the devil to his people over and over throughout his word. He would give the game plan. He would show the war game plan of the enemy, where they were stationed, hiding out, which way they'd be coming in. That's what he's doing. That's why it's important. And they are those fallen ones preordained for condemnation, as Jude said in verses 3-8 in Jude. Remember, we're in a fallen world, and what's happening now is a repeat of what's been attempted over and over again from the original fall of Adam and Eve. They attempted it over and over with the flood. He had to take it all down through the flood, because they had, that's another story. I'm not going to go into that. I think probably most of you know about the technologies and stuff that they had at the time. And the Tower of Babel, when they were trying to recreate a world after the flood, when all that was taken down, they were trying to recreate it. Stairway to Heaven. Oh my goodness. But yeah, it's been attempted over and over from the original fall of Adam and Eve. And I want to touch on what I referenced a minute ago as the Mac Daddy of all deceptions, the one the masses, they're grooming them, the masses, and preparing them to receive this false narrative. Because as it was, so will it be again. We've got that in scripture. Nothing new under the sun. But the serpent beguiled Adam and Eve, both of them, but he followed long suit. But the serpent beguiled Adam and Eve by questioning what God had told them. He questioned what God had told Eve. He said, has he said, you know, as God said, not to eat of every tree, you know. We know that questioning about eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And of course, the devil contradicted what God said by telling her the first lie. No, you won't die. Because she told him what God had told her. Oh, no, you won't die. And then the second thing the serpent said, he said that if they ate of that forbidden tree, that they would be like gods, knowing good and evil. They'd be given knowledge of the gods. That sounded awesome to her. Wow. Hidden knowledge. That seeking after the things that the devil implied that God was holding back things, right? Ah, you'll be like God. We know the story of the angels that came down, you know, some call them the Anunnaki. And they took wives and had children. The offspring of this union are called the Nephilim, the giants, etc. We know that these fallen angels, they taught mankind all kinds of this secret knowledge. You know, how to make weapons of war. That was one of the things listed. That's a very broad term, the weapons of war. But they were taught, they taught mankind how to fight one another, how to destroy one another. Now these weapons of war, that's a, you know, very advanced. It's a broad term, but it has a lot of meaning. Think of what we see being disclosed today, these weapons of war to destroy, weapons of genocide, all kinds. We can fill in the blanks. Weapons we've not even imagined are making news. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? We know that. As touched upon last week, it's just the tip of the iceberg. But I want to touch on what these fallen ones told past civilizations and then bring it forward to our day. A lot of you, or maybe all of you, know this narrative. Things God is bringing together. He's bringing and tying these pieces together for us. But one of the first civilizations that we have quite a few artifacts from and on are the Sumerians. They were the civilization pre-Egyptian, if you will. The first one that we have a lot of stuff from. There's the Sumerian tablets and other writings, etchings, drawings, things like that. But what I want to bring out is their writings and drawings of the aliens. A lot of people give that term, aliens. They drew pictures of beings with weird shaped skulls, elongated. They drew pictures describing things, saucer type spacecraft. The things we see today. And there's evidence of advanced technology being used, structures built. Matter of fact, they believe those were probably that civilization during that time period when the fallen ones were really active, were the ones who built the pyramids. And those are all over the world. And man, when you study into that, it's like they are built in patterns, kind of all tied back into the Great Pyramid of Giza. But all those advanced technologies and structures built. Like, oh, how'd they do that? Right? But a huge point is that these beings represented themselves as the gods of mankind, their creators. And they did the same with the Egyptians in that time period. They were known as their creators. These were not aliens, but fallen angels. These ancient civilizations just thought of them as gods. And they have all that's all the so-called mythology that the intellectuals of today say, oh, it was all mythology and it was all just stories. And, you know, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. And they're getting ready to disclose again these things. But yes, they represented themselves as their gods, their creators to mankind. And they weren't aliens. They weren't from afar off, but they were fallen angels, interdimensional beings, if you will. Not only spoken of in scripture, but in various extra biblical works like First Enoch, chapters 1 through 36. Now that is actually a separate book, and it was not found. It was found separately from the fragments of various pieces that they put together and call the Book of Enoch. But no, chapters 1 through 36 is called the Book of the Watchers. And they actually sell that book separately. And it's called the Book of the Watchers. But they included that, I say they, when they found, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, etc., and they came across all these things, they just put it in the Book of Enoch with all the other fragments. But these entities indicated that they would return. If you want a little bit of fill-in, just read Enoch chapters 1 through 36. The rest, it kind of goes off. I'm talking about the rest of the so-called Enoch writings, which they weren't Enoch. They were written way, way after Enoch, because I get into some stuff that happened later. But these entities indicated that they would return. And that's where I want to go right now. The elite, those, they that I'm talking about. We always say they, you know, the wicked, right? But the elite, those of old, they crept in unaware. They're marked out and ordained to this. Ungodly men, those given over to lawlessness. They've been suppressing the truth. And that's some of what I just said is in Jude. He talks about that, and Enoch talks about that, that portion I said, the watchers. But yes, they've been suppressing the truth. The Lord has allowed it until now. The false narrative of these fallen ones, it's going to be the same. The enemy just keeps trying the same old things with different directions and things. When they show up on the scene, they'll maintain they're our gods, our creator. They'll maintain they've returned to save mankind. And this is why all the predictive programming, all the alien movies and such, and now the newly released documentary called Age of Disclosure. Interesting. Scientists, military, generals, physicists, all kinds of so-called experts, congressmen, reporters, experts in the field, even Marco Rubio in this documentary that's been released called Age of Disclosure. And they each say, we're not alone. We're not alone. And I didn't know this, but L.A. Marzulli had released a picture of National Geographic. And the heading is, are we alone? It's being blasted from the rooftops, okay? But when this is formally announced, when they say, hey, you know, we got to tell everyone, it's time to tell the masses of people. They thought, or they had their excuses, but the enemy had a narrative that he was wanting to do at this end. And the Lord allows it because I'll tell why in a minute. He tells us. But this will be formally announced and it'll be the foundation upon the rest, what is going to be laid out. And the man of sin, whatever he looks like, whatever he is, right? The man of sin to lead will arise somewhere in there. Fill in the blanks. We know all the scriptures that talk about this man of sin. But remember, I want to back up in our stance. What's this got to do with us? What's right? Remember, Daniel was told to seal up the book until the time of the end, you know, when knowledge would be increased. And as we've talked about, it's not just the knowledge of what the enemy's up to. God's giving us a heads up of what the enemy's up to. But it's also an increase in the knowledge of the truth of God. All those false narratives are being exposed that the enemy worked feverishly to destroy evidence, to hide knowledge, to pile a bunch of junk on top of the truth. Because God is uncovering not only what the enemy's up to, but he's uncovering his truth because it's going to be proclaimed also when this false narrative comes up. When the enemy comes in like a flood, what does God do? He'll raise a standard. This is for the end time. This is in the book of Revelation. He'll raise up a standard against it. That's his people. That's his remnant. Somebody's going to be proclaiming these things from the very word of God, the truth. But yes, Daniel was told to seal it up until the time of the end. Not only is God revealing the schemes, the plans, the playbook of the devil, the enemy, but he's giving his people a heads up, but he's revealing knowledge to his people, the truth, to be able to speak out to the masses that will receive it. False narratives being exposed. And like what I just mentioned, it's paramount. God's showing how the enemy is going to come in like a flood. He's even showing the angle, his narrative in advance, if you will, and take everything that's being said here before the Lord. Don't believe anything except the very word of God and what the Holy Spirit will witness to you. And he will if you're a truth seeker, if you truly only desire the truth. God's told us there would be a great falling away, though. A great falling away in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Many say that 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 is talking about the rapture. But if you look at the context, it's talking about the lawless one coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness and unrighteous deception in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Read the chapter. When this false narrative begins to be proclaimed by those that were set and came in, slipped in unaware for this end time work, most, I think, are going to believe it. At least in the beginning. But it's because they don't have a love for the truth that God's going to send them strong delusion that they will believe the lie. Jesus will not return. The saints will not be gathered to him until after the falling away. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says the same thing. says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Oh my, are we seeing that? Most of the things, not from every pastor, but from, I would say, right now, most are doctrines of demons, things that have been put out there as truth, false narratives. So what is our stance? What should be our stance? We must have a love for the truth in order to not fall for the deception, because it's very clear. It's because they don't have a love for the truth. Those are the ones that are going to swallow the lie. Now I'm going to tell you what was laid upon my heart as I got up in the middle of the night. As those here with me, Tracy, Esther, we were just the three of us this particular day, when I confessed to them that I needed prayer. I needed prayer. It was a feeling of deep loneliness. And I told them, I said, I just can't put my finger. I just feel so alone. It's like I'm fighting this. It felt like it was a negative thing. I was feeling alone. And it's like this feeling, I felt like it was an attack of the enemy, a spirit of this loneliness trying to, oh, you're so alone. You're all alone. And, you know, that's what I thought at the time. But I wasn't hearing those words. It was just feeling so lonely. But a couple of us have been attacked. All of us, and probably some of you on the call, I don't know, but we've been attacked by those who don't believe in having anything to do with, quote, the law, unquote, as they call it, the Old Testament. Except, of course, they're quick to quote promises of protection in Psalm 91 without reading the verses that make it very plain. It's contingency clauses. And maybe they are quick to read or point towards the scriptures talking about the coming Messiah. Anything to do with living a holy life, that's been done away. That's legalism. I was attacked at length the other day, and I just put things on, say, the website or if I'm on a media page. I don't make a habit of going into other people's posts and attacking them. I don't do that. I try to encourage people if it's something that's, oh, right on, right? But anyway, we've been having some of that. If it slips out that you keep the Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath, or you believe in keeping the dietary requirements listed, or the holy days, the festivals of God instead of the festivals of man that mix the holy with the profane, syncretism. But if it comes out that you follow standards of conduct according to even what Jesus said, he says, think not that I came to destroy the law, the Torah, or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill, right? Well, if they find out, they come at you gnashing their teeth at you. I didn't really think much about it in days past. I went through that when I was first called by God, became a Christian. I went through some of that, but not like rabid dogs coming at you that we're seeing now, but we haven't seen the likes of it. Wait, it's coming. It's coming. They want nothing to do with what the word of God says. And they don't care if you laid down and you made an ironclad case. They can't see it because there's a veil of deception over them, because they don't. They're not receiving the truth. They're not seeking. They've got their own narrative. They will not veer from it. The narrative they've been given and standing on. But the Lord reminds us in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, we're told, enter in at the narrow gate, Jesus says. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter in through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the path that leads to life. And only a few find it. Do you believe that? I won't even comment further on that scripture. That's out of the mouth of Jesus. But when I awakened in the night, you know, these things in prayer, I was praying and reminded of so many scriptures of encouragement. What's the word of God say in 2 Corinthians 6:17? He says, come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We're to come out. Come out of Babylon. This is the world. This is a fallen world that we're in right now. And Jesus said, if you were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world hates you. Get over it, guys. That's what he was telling me. Remember what I told you. All hell will come against you when you even dare to rise up to set with me that place that's already been given to us. All hell will come against you to come up out of this three dimensions up into all the dimensions through the dimension of the angelic realm where there's intense warfare going on. We have to go past that. And that's the battle. Being in the armor, we could, feel free, guys, in a minute to just encourage one another with his word. But Jesus did say, he said, when he was praying for us in John 17, and you can read this verses 16 to 26, but in essence, in his prayer to the Father, he was praying for us, and he says, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world, he said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. That's Jesus's prayer. Asking the Father to sanctify. What's that mean? Set them apart. Remember, we're not of it. Sanctify. Separate. And that's setting apart for holy use, to separate. And I got the word call. Called. C-U-L-L came into my spirit. We're being called out of this world. And then I saw Patty had sent me a message. And it was that word from Leonard Ravenhill. And I'm going to read it real quick. Let me just read. It's just, a couple paragraphs. He said, if you're going to be a true Christian, I'll tell you one thing, among others, it'll be a lonely life. God meant for me to see this morning because of what I just shared with you, how I was feeling so lonely. It was like, and I know the enemy was trying to use that to put a cloud over me, to put pressure on me. I was feeling so lonely. But Leonard said, it'll be a lonely life. It's a narrow way, and it becomes narrower and narrower and narrower. And I shared that last week, how somebody told me the road that she was shown was so dark and so narrow, even her toes and her heel were hanging off each end. It becomes so narrow. Remember, I've shared with you guys how I saw, like as a fly on the wall, Jesus standing way out in the middle of the Grand Canyon, up in the air, and the church, and it was just a small group. Let me tell you, it was just a small group standing on the edge of what I would call a ravine, like the Grand Canyon. And there was a line, and it was a red line, narrow like a cord, a very small, like a tightrope, that small. And it was from the feet of Jesus to all the way, I could see it, to the edge of this canyon, and it was secured at the edge. And he had his arms out towards us, beckoning us to come. But it's so narrow. And I saw one at a time, they were going, ooh. They'd come up and some would come up and see that narrow path and they'd turn and walk away. Only one here and there would begin walking across. And I saw those that were walking towards them, they had their head up. They weren't looking down at that narrow road. They were looking at Jesus. And they were going across. They were going across to him. And it was imparted to me even in the same thing over and over throughout my Christian walk. And veer off, right? They're heading for destruction to come off that wide path onto this narrow one. But you can't see. You can't even see how you're going to make it. Because you look back, all your provision, we've been brainwashed to believe that all our resources, right? Our resources are back there, this world. And the Lord showed me, because I look back like, my flesh wanted to go back. That I turned back and I saw and I knew, I set my foot out to take that first step. And the Lord said, many will not come because of a fear of what lies beyond, right? They can't see the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Right? Okay, let me finish. I'm sorry. I kind of veered off there, but continuing with this, I'm going to say, if you're going to be a true Christian, I'll tell you one thing amongst others, it'll be a lonely life. It's a narrow way and it becomes narrower and narrower and narrower. He wants to get us to the place where we'd rather fast than feast. Where we'd rather be unknown than known. I know because, man, if you even start to, the gnashing of teeth, right? God didn't come to be a shareholder, Leonard says. Forget it. God doesn't want to share your life with the enemy or this world or with you or whoever. He doesn't want to be a shareholder. He doesn't want to share your life. He wants to own it. He doesn't want partnership. He wants ownership of every part of your being. It's not simple being a Christian. After all, it's a majestic thing. And that's the end of that little thing that Leonard Ravenhill wrote. It was, like I said, before I read that this morning, the word called, we're being called from the earth, hence the loneliness I'd been feeling. I don't feel a part of this anymore. Do you? I don't even take pleasure in some of the things that I used to take pleasure in. Yes, we have our hope. Yes, we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. But we sure don't if we take our eyes off him. Our mood plummets. We feel a spirit. The enemy tries to come in and cast a spirit of depression upon us. Loneliness, all of those things. It's only when we keep our eyes on him, right? But in this world, this is, I thought, calling. Because see, I used to raise dogs and train them and things. I had litters of puppies and all that. And I personally did not call my litters, but I knew people that did, and herds and flocks, right? People that raise animals, they call the undesirables from the herd or the litter. They kill them. So I was kind of thinking, what, Lord, we're being called from the earth? But yes, we have to die. We have to die to self. And if you're not willing to give 100% to him, to die to self and go and enter into that holy of holies with the blood of the lamb only entering in as a dead woman, you're not going to make it. No, this world, they call the undesirables. Aren't we the undesirables of this world? Don't they kill, and won't they do again? The saints kill the people of God, thinking they do God a favor by calling them. I just want to share something the Lord spoke a few days ago during one of our prayer times. And he spoke this, I don't know how long ago, a couple years ago at one of the festivals. We were at the table and the Lord said, I mean, we were having an anointed time of prayer, and the Lord spoke to my spirit. He said, and I spoke out loud, you cannot contain me. And he let me know our bodies in our current state, we cannot contain all the fullness of God. He said, you cannot contain me. Soon you will be given new wineskins. Okay, that was a couple years ago. He said it again when we were in prayer the other night, the three of us. One of the ladies, I don't remember, Tracy or Esther, doesn't matter, but we were all praying, taking turns praying. And when one was praying, he said that again, you're going to be given new wineskins. We have to be given wineskins. That glory, that Isaiah 60, verse 1 to what, 3, 4? And it's in the latter days when darkness envelops the earth. It's such good news. He's got a people he is preparing. He is equipping to speak forth to, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises up a standard. It's his remnant that will raise up. It's the Gideon army, so to speak, whatever you want to call. It's the showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, whatever you want to call it. Small. It's a very small group initially. He will raise them up as a standard, and they will speak forth the mysteries, the truths being uncovered. And angels are desiring to even hear these things and look into these things. It's going to be spoken out through the mouth of the church, mysteries to the principalities, power, might, dominion, the angelics. This is the time coming up when all creation, right? They've been groaning in travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God unto this time. And not only they, but we ourselves also groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption of these bodies. Lord, Lord God Almighty, our Father, we come before you. I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for all you are showing in this hour. Why all hell is coming against your people? It's the devil's last stand. Thank you, Father, for all the things you're showing us, that even the bolts, when we were praying last night or night before, whatever, that Tracy was shown some time ago, that the bolts into this foundation upon which we stand, they better be bolted in deep so we're not blown off that foundation. Going deep. Deep into your very word, Lord. May we be so yearning for more and more and more of your truth. Loving your truth as you take away the false narratives. You expose more and more to speak forth to those that will have ears to hear, that have a love for the truth. They're out there all over. We pray, Lord God, for ears to begin to respond to words as it goes forth in the various platforms and avenues that you have planned. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit minister what you're saying to us in this hour, the fullness of it, the depths of it, the good news of it, how you have such an amazing plan that we can't even think or fathom of, the things that you have prepared for those that love you. Thank you. And we just praise you. I thank you for all things. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen.